this week's podcast is brought to you by our new sponsor or new partnership, LSKD.
Yeah, they're a local Brisbane business who like us, are trying to take over the world. They're obviously a great clothing brand who, you know, as James will attest to, we used to be fully kitted out in Lululemon, but now LSKD's come along and we're jumping on that bandwagon because it's better.
Yeah.
I've just really enjoyed the quality of the clothes. They're a really good brand to work with. They share our values.
Yeah, and we've worked with these to get this going. Like, we wanted this as well, just as much as them. So we're super pumped to have them on board. So by supporting LSKD, you are also supporting us and you are supporting the growth of this podcast. You get 10% off at checkout with the code REBUILD, or you can follow the links in the show notes or go to our social media and click on the links and you will get 10% off with LSKD.
Yeah, we can take care of your training and nutrition, but then let them deck you out and look good in all their clothes.
I'm James Beattie.
And I'm Sean Carroll.
And welcome to the REBUILD Health and Fitness Podcast. All right, and welcome back to the REBUILD Health and Fitness Podcast. We just had some problems with the bloody audio.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean. Sounds brilliant in my ears.
My headphone sounds amazing. Kate's and Sean's does not.
It's because James is talking.
I've been trying to, I'm just trying to destroy your podcasting careers. I'm just going to go solo. But hopefully this sounds okay to you. It just sounds terrible in their ears. But Sean, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. You thought like after a week of COVID and then coming back to life and enjoying an Easter weekend, I'd be well on the way getting ready for my first fight. But then all of a sudden I've woken up with another little head cold. So...
COVID?
I did do a test just out of pure curiosity.
Did you?
Yeah. Out of pure curiosity.
Imagine.
I was like, surely not.
Still yet to get it.
Still negs.
Like a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
Kate, how are you?
Yeah, what's going on with you, Kate?
Oh, you know, usual.
Usual.
Living my best life.
It's Kate's birthday today.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks.
34.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Not very mature for 34, but whatever.
I would agree with that.
Oh, we're all in our 30s. That's pretty fucked up.
That David Brent video. God, post it. You're 39, all not 30s. Don't worry about it. All right, today we're going to just go through some of the topics that we've just been asked questions about this week, I guess. But not Q&A, just within our sort of with nutrition clients. So one of them is like how to read food labels, which we'll go through because I think people look at the back of food labels and... it looks way more complex than what it is. There's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of percentages. There's a lot of weird words. But it's simple, and I think that's a really good place to start. Even before you're thinking about dieting or thinking about tracking your calories or your macros, like being able to read a food label and just decipher two packs from each other is quite important.
So, Kate, as our representative of the general population here.
Gen Pop.
Gen Pop, Team Gen Pop. When you pick up a, you know, bag of chips, anything.
Straight to the bag of chips.
So many chips, yeah. Story of my life.
Yeah. What do you look for when
crisps.
You look at the food label?
If I'm picking up chips, I'm not looking at a food label. Just FYI, I know what I'm getting myself into.
Good
but
answer.
Let's say yogurt.
Yogurt.
So, yep. Yogurt. Not playing this
game. They're saying, for everyone in the UK, they're saying crisps and yogurt.
So I'll look at protein content and calories. That's the only two that I tend to check. Protein, because that's an issue for me. So I want higher protein, lower cal.
Do you look at the serving size at all?
No. Especially not when it's a bag of chips, because I think there's like 5.6 servings per bag of chips, which is ludicrous.
Yeah. I've just got some random foods near my feet. I'm just trying to get as many food labels as I can. So again, I think it's important to understand food labels before we do anything else. Like I said, I think they look way more complex and sort of people just ignore them. There's a couple of things that you need to look out for. So usually on the back, and all three of the things I grabbed have different nutrition labels on them, which is, again,
good,
annoying, but also another reason why
Typical.
It can be quite confusing, right? That everything is not just down the line. So I've got bagels, some protein, and some wraps. So you'll have a... per serve or per quantity, and then you'll have per 100 grams usually. And this is where people can get caught out. So say the calories on a crisp, for example, were 100 calories, but there are 2.5 servings per bag. That's actually 250 calories. Okay, and this is, it's just a marketing ploy, right? That's the simple thing. It's a marketing ploy. And then you think you're doing great. Like, great, it's 100 calories per this whole bag of crisps. And then you eat it. It's not, it's 250. You see that with cakes. And even with like, and I'll be honest, some of the portion sizes, like, who are you kidding? You ever took, you ever poured out like a recommended serving for like cereal?
Oh, it's nothing.
Oh my God. It's... It's crazy. What was it over Easter? It's like, I didn't think it was anything, but it seems that I'm a chocolate cake for a family of five. Or something like that. So just be careful on the serving size. Okay, so again, per serving or per 100 grams. So say for this bagel in my hand, it's 90 grams. So this bagel... food labels is pretty good actually. So you'll always have the energy content. Sometimes they just don't put calories and put kilojoules just to
I hate that.
Yeah, it's annoying, especially living in Australia or the UK, just calories or what it goes at. It'll have your sort of a percentage next to that. So it'll have your energy intake, so your calorie intake, and then next to it, it'll have your percentage intake per serve. So your percentage intake, pretty much everything on a food label is percentage based off a 2,000 calorie diet.
Yep.
Okay, a 2,000 calorie diet. So this bagel would be 13% of my day, right? And that's how it figures out. But if you're on a 1,500 calorie diet, then that percentage is obviously going to be different.
Yeah, it's going to chew up a fair bit more.
Yeah, so again, just be mindful of these.
Kate's looking. Sorry, like, I don't know.
Like, oh my God.
What?
Kate's looking, right?
I never noticed the percentages.
Yeah, so below... that then is your protein intake. Again, something that we really sort of want to look out for. I think everything that we want to have, we want to be looking for a decent amount of protein within that. And again, your percentage next to it. Below that, you have your fat intake, right? And this is where it can vary a little bit with fat because there's quite a lot of different types of fat. Difference. You've obviously got trans fats, saturated fats, and like a monounsaturated, polysaturated, there's plenty, but the two that usually come up are saturated and trans.
Yeah.
Okay, but say, for example, in this bagel is 2.4 grams of fat, but there's only 0.1 gram of trans and there's 0.5 grams of fat. So that doesn't add up to 2.5 grams because there's other fat. Okay, so trans fats, in all honesty, we say there's no such thing as a bad food. Trans fats are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like... We want to stay away from anything that has trans fats in it. And sometimes it's in stuff, so don't stress too much. But you do want to limit the trans fat intake.
What would typically have
like cakes, margarines?
Generally, foods that are like highly processed, that tends to be, they tend to be way higher
cooked
in trans
oil
fats.
Has that too, right? If you like heat up certain oils.
Yeah, like canola oils, sunflower seed oil, all that kind of stuff that's really high in trans fats, got like a really low, like a really low burn temperature. So like the carcinogenic effect of it tends to be quite higher based off that. So your best sort of cooking oils are going to be like olive oil.
Extra virgin.
Some people cook in coconut oil.
Remember that was a massive craze.
Massive craze. I never got around it.
I did. And then I just loved eggs so much. And I was like, it was just gross with eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, coconut oil. Where'd that just, people putting that on their hair, still, on their face.
Everything.
Like, it's still around.
Oh, yeah. It's still around.
Oh, it was a massive fa- probably about eight years ago.
I bought like a 4-liter tub.
Used it for everything.
I did. It's so nice.
Saturated fat. Again, I think saturated fat gets a bad rap, the poor little thing. It's sort of like just the middle brother that's sort of unloved a little bit. Just don't stress too much about your saturated fat. Okay, this has actually got poly and mono as well. Good. Okay, below that is usually your carbohydrate intake. Obviously, carbs are made up of a few things. So this one doesn't have it on, but the one next to me, like a fiber, the fiber content is made up of sort of carbohydrates. You always want to be looking for something that has good fiber if you can. And then you'll have your sugars as well.
Yep.
So sugars, depending on what it is, some people will look to sort of limit that, but it doesn't put into effect what type of sugar.
Yeah, whether it's like glucose, sucralose, fructose.
Again, it doesn't put in that. It just doesn't differentiate it. It's just sugar.
Yeah.
So again, limit it if you want. Okay, but again, don't stress about it. And that percentage next year. But you can see that, you know, the total carbohydrate of these bagels is 49.7, but the sugars are 4.5. So there's
There's a lot more stuff going in.
There's a lot more stuff going in there. And then you'll have your sodium intake, which is just based off, again, your percentage of your total daily. Again, below everything off 2,000, sometimes they'll put the macronutrient calorie intake. I've seen that a couple of times. So it'll actually tell you like 1 gram of protein is 4 calories, 1 gram of carbohydrates, 4 calories, 1 gram of fat is 9 calories. Don't see that as much in Australia.
No, you don't see that too much in Australia.
And then you've actually got your ingredient list at the bottom. Actually, and a lot of them, then you'll have vitamins and minerals, right? You'll have your vitamins and minerals underneath. Just ignore them, really. Like, I think that's the easiest thing, because this, any individual fit, it's such a low amount. Like, it's such a low amount for your recommended daily intake. Like, you just need to bypass a little bit and just eat a lot more fruit and a lot more vegetables.
Yeah.
Like, things that are leafy greens are going to be high in calcium and high in iron, and then vegetables are going to be rich in what, vitamin C and vitamin A. So don't stress too much, again, on the vitamins and minerals there, because it is quite a small amount. And then your ingredient. So it usually go from a weight base, like how much in your ingredient, like the first three things are the most commonly used thing. So most commonly used thing, like the three biggest weight, whatever you want to call them, down to the lowest. So this is where you can look at things. So if I'm looking at this bagel, okay, wheat flour, water, bagel base. They're going to be the three. The three big ones. So again, you can keep an eye on those things. But other than that, that is the masterpiece on how to read a food label. How do you feel, Kate?
So what about, like, you go into one of these protein selling shops and there's like a whole shelf of different proteins?
I don't think we use that as necessarily an example.
But what would you want to read on that? Like, not deep diving, but if I'm like, there's so many, how do I know which one to use?
Depends what you're after, but it would just be like an isolate usually. Depends what's
just other. A simple whey protein isolate, one that's not filled with, obviously goal dependent, but like most people don't need one chock full of carbs.
Usually like
they
the
just
big,
need like
the,
a simple.
Yeah. The biggest thing you're looking for, yeah, is that whey protein isolate, if you get an isolate, and that should be like a massive percentage. Like everything else should just be
minuscule.
Like a minuscule. What's this one? So this one from True Protein, French Vanilla, whey protein isolate, 96%. Everything else is.
Is there any ingredients you'd want to, like I've been told before, way in the past, that to avoid certain ingredients in protein powders?
It's, you get what you pay for. If you're, if you buy a cheap, like really cheap version of anything, really, they're going to, whoever's producing it or making it is looking to cut costs at all angles. So don't expect it to either taste amazing or sit well with your body. Like, there's so many people who have had protein in the past and they've always tried to save a little bit of money, and they always come and it's like, oh yeah, I've had protein shakes in the past, but it really upsets my stomach. I can't tell you how many people we've got to try Chew and they've had no stomach issues at all. You don't feel bloated. Like, it mixes and sits really well when you drink it. But that goes down to, like, you know, good companies invest in the process of making sure it's, things are done really, 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 really well. And like James said, there's bugger all ingredients in it. It is what it is.
I think anything else next to it, again, it depends what you're, depends what you want the protein for. You're looking after a mass gainer, you're looking for something with a bit more BCAA in it. I don't know. I think there's so much. I mean, if you look at the ingredients, it should be simple, but then you've got obviously the amino acid profile and things, and the non-essential amino acid profile within it. Again, good question. I'm going to actually look into a little bit more, because I remember back in the day, I actually used to tell people to look at certain stuff. I've used this company for so long.
Ages now.
And only advise people to look at this company for so long. I don't really look at anything else, but we'll have a look at that.
Yeah, I stopped looking because I used to try and find better value and like to try different ones. And now, because we have True and you guys have recommended it, that's all I have, because I, like, going into one of those shops is so overwhelming if you don't know exactly what you want and what you need.
I just look at what's the highest, protein isolate. What's the highest percentage? What's the protein intake in there? And what's the lowest calorie? That's pretty much what the basic stuff that I would look
out
for.
Same as me with my yogurt.
And do I like the taste of it?
Yeah, definitely.
And does it sit well? Which all proteins sit well with me, to be honest.
Oh, not me.
Just a mad gut. Just a great gut. Any other questions about the food label? I feel like that was a boring topic, but...
What about aspartame? Isn't that real bad?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. Aspartame is what? That's a
artificial sweetener.
Again, it's been disproven a million times that it's not bad for you. People go, oh, it turns into sugar. Does it? Does it? I think it does.
No, it makes people crave sugars.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Right.
They use it in nuclear weapons.
Do they? Bloody hell. I'm just going to ignore all the research from now on. Just listen to...
Trust me. Trust
old,
me.
Old Kaza from around the corner.
Sure, on YouTube.
Okay,
I like to get all my nutritional information from Facebook groups.
That's it. I think they showed with Aspartame. I think they did it up to like, was it like 50 cans or something? Like 50 cans of Coke would have no effect.
I think just teeth. I think the carbonated side of things, like on teeth. I think dentists just
don't. Yeah, like, that's the one.
It's teeth, but like.
Yeah, it's negative.
They said it makes you poop your pants though. That's another one. It was in a movie or something.
Oh, it's much better in a movie. Well.
If you're drinking 50 cans of anything, you're going to shit yourself.
I'd say too much of anything. You're going to be pooping. You're going to be pooping or you're going to be constipated. And that's why fiber is important. Some other stuff that I think is important this week. So around the world. Is it around the world? Is Easter around the world on the same day? Like is the UK, is that Easter?
Yeah, it's the moon.
Well,
what?
I thought it was supposed to be Jesus.
It's like the fourth full moon after Christmas or something.
See, this is...
Wow, I did not know that.
The fourth full moon after Christmas.
I don't know exactly how many moons it is, but it's to do with the moon, full moon from Christmas to Easter.
Do we need to fact check that?
Yeah. It's something. Because how does it fall on different days?
That's because
every year. Sometimes it's like the end of March. Sometimes the end of April. This was at the beginning of April.
Yeah.
Mid-April.
Didn't Jesus die on the same day?
Mate, I don't know.
Let's not get into that rabbit hole.
You don't see eye to eye, me and Jesus.
So a couple of things coming out of some public holidays is...
Everyone drinks and eats way more than they normally do.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. People every Christmas and every Easter, people say these words to me. Oh, James, Easter's not actually going to be quite big, as that's not actually going to be big for me this week. Or Christmas, well, it's not actually going to be a big Christmas this year.
Then on Monday, it's like, I had a few people come over.
Well, the last 30 were pretty big, so what's going to make this one... any different for you? So it always ends up being a little bit bigger. But if you put this ceiling on yourself to be like, hey, this is what I'm sticking to, and then you have a bit more eggs or you socialize a little bit more, then you just start to feel guilty. I had a client this morning, been through a little bit. She had a birthday, got COVID, had Easter.
Talking about me.
Got a young child. And she, for the last month, has maintained weight. Right, and you come in and you're like, oh, you know, there's a little bit of mixed emotion, like, oh, I've maintained weight over the last month. And I was like, yeah, great, it's awesome, well done. And it was like a bit of confusion, but then it's like, well, if you weren't concentrating on, because she said, I was still being super mindful, my decision making was better because I know that I'm still trying to, you know, I'm going to make progress. Where would you be if you weren't trying to make progress? Would you reckon I'd probably be 4 kilos heavier? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, at this point, maintenance is a massive progress because if you weren't being mindful or concentrating on some things, then you would probably be the other way. You'd have probably gone
backwards,
much more backwards the other way. So I think maintenance through certain periods of time are epic. And I always tell my clients, like, any kilo that you lose and maintain is an absolute win. It's an absolute win because, again, your weight loss is never going to be successful unless you can maintain your progress.
Yeah. Yeah, I could literally have the same conversation this morning as I was driving in. Like, you know, if she's like, oh, yeah, I didn't do very good this week, you know, literally like identical. It's like, well, you just got through one of the most like toughest parts of the year when it comes to dieting, really. You got a 4-day long weekend, heaps of chocolate, heaps of food, heaps of booze, and you didn't go backwards and you still control what you could control. Like, that's a massive win. I think it just comes down to people putting that over a, like, too much expectation on the scale still. They think that is still, no matter how many times you say it, they always are focused on the weight.
Yeah.
Which, again, in this scenario, I know we're talking about like the weight staying the same, but like, which is a win, which it is.
It is. Yeah.
But yeah, if you're always expecting a loss and it doesn't happen and you're only really valuing that rather than all the other hard work then you're doing, you're going to get disappointed.
Yeah, again, that decision. Even I remember this week, she's like, oh, I went out for breakfast. She's brand new. She's like on 3 weeks in, but I had my usual, like, they go out for work, eggs and bacon, but I usually have 2 pieces of toast. This week I had 1 piece of toast.
Yeah.
Great.
That was sweet.
Isn't that great? Isn't that a marvelous thing? Do you know what I mean? You would have had that second piece usually, but you chose not to.
Yeah.
But you've been mindful about it. Another thing I've been, it's just still going back to these questions. I sort of lost it for a little bit. Do you know the questions to ask yourself to be mindful about situations? Is this what a healthy person would do?
Yeah.
Like I've got a member, a client at the moment that it's her birthday in October and she wants to lose a certain amount of weight. So we're time restricted. So when she comes into her decisions, because again, this you can't make miracles happen. If you're time restricted and you've got a result to hit, then things have to go a certain way. So, you know, when you're coming into these difficult decisions, like, is this going to help me get to where I want to be by the time my birthday knocks around? If you can answer, and then whatever answer you choose from there is the right one. Do you know what I mean? In the Atomic Habits book, we talk about there's that guy who lost like a ridiculous amount of weight, and every decision that he made was, is this what a healthy person would do? And whatever he said was the right thing, right?
Yeah.
Is this what a healthy person would do? Right. I'm going out for drinks with my friend. Is this what a healthy person would do right now? Maybe sometimes it's no. Maybe sometimes, no, I don't need this drink. This is not what a healthy person would do because I don't need it. Someone's birthday. Oh, do you want to come out for a drink? Is this what a healthy person would do? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because again, looking at a bigger model of things, yeah, I think this drink will then help me progress in other areas. So again, I think just being mindful about all the decisions, and then you can take complete ownership and responsibility for all your decisions.
Yeah. 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 Like you're always in control of what you do for the most part. Like you can either feel bad about the decisions you make, which people like, it's like one of those things when you order like Uber Eats, you get that like fucking instant, like you'll order whatever you want, it gets there, it arrives, you smash it down, you're like, oh my God, I shouldn't have done that. Feel terrible about it. But like, it's done. You've done it. Mm. Own it. Move on. Make sure your next decision is something positive that moves the needle forward to you. All your decisions don't have to make you like move the needle forward for you all the time. It's about playing the long game, and you can have these like little wins over time that add up. And if you do go out and have a few drinks, or if you do spend $100 on Uber Eats in one night, like
$100 Uber Eats for one person.
Yeah, mate. I live in
Canberra. Have you done that?
Not one. No, I've gone close.
Yeah.
I smoke.
What's your order?
Yeah, I smoke. I get really excited.
Everything.
I haven't got a big appetite.
Priority order. Make sure they don't fuck around and they get it straight to me first. I pay that every time.
Is that a thing?
You're tight in some areas, but I'll tell you what, when you're doing food, he's bloody fine out. So I just had a thing here I wrote down about owning your shit through the storm, taking responsibility for your actions, however they come. Okay, it's a great place when people come in. It's like, oh, I didn't do too well, but I had a good weekend. It's like, great, let's crack on. Yeah. Let's go again. Again, there's plenty more weeks, right?
Yeah, but you got to be careful, right? Because it's like plenty more weeks and then you keep pushing it back and back.
Yeah, but I think that's the point. But again, you're not going backwards. You might be maintaining a little bit.
One more week.
And again, yeah, it's just about your ability to... After the most successful people are the ones that have the ability to just crack straight back on.
Yeah.
Even after a night out. So I struggle after a night out. I'm not great here, but there's some people that... can have a night out and the next day they're just on.
Yeah, they rip into everything.
Yeah.
I need an extra day.
They're just on. And I had one conversation with someone this week just about doing the tough stuff just when you don't want to do it. You know, that sort of resilience building. So this person journals a lot when she's in a great mood.
Yeah.
But won't journal when she's in a bad mood.
It's the best time to do it.
Right, I was thinking, isn't that the major... the point?
It's the goal, right? It depends what you're journaling about. Like, I guess journaling at the crux of it, it's to give you a different perspective, like a third lens view on what's gone right, what's gone wrong. But also, I sort of use it and advice uses a tool to help you find the good in the bad.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gratitude side of things. Like, there is always good opportunities to be had. There's always good lessons to be learned. So, like, you learning and you breaking down your day and finding like, oh shit, this happened. Maybe I could have handled it differently. And like literally writing that out can be super, super valuable and get it out of your head as well. Like if you're stewing on something that's just pissing you off, you get it down on paper, then it's done. Like that's where the value is in journaling. There's no point writing all the time. Like any good, if you have a brilliant day all the time, fantastic. But you're like, dear diary, had the best day ever.
Love, Sean, XO.
So you look great today.
Yeah. So I'd say sometimes you just got to do it. Same as training, right? Sometimes you just don't want to train, but sometimes you just got to go and train. Sometimes you just got to do the stuff. Sometimes I'm going to go home tonight and have a nice meal. I'll probably go home and have a nice meal though, because I know that's going to benefit me in the long run.
Why wouldn't you want to go home and have a nice meal?
No, because I'd want a takeaway. Say on any night. Yeah. It's Friday night, so I'll probably have a takeaway. But on any night, you know, some of the stuff that you don't want to do, it's really important that you do it, because there's something really valuable about going to bed and having done all the shit that you said you were going to do.
Yeah, you grow that sort of resilience muscle. It's a genuine thing. It makes you, like, I think, it calluses the mind. Like, if you know you can constantly overcome tough decisions, like, and you are in control of them. Like, I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. That's fucking weird.
It's that, I'm brought up for a while, but it's that old Brene Brown quote I spoke about self-compassion, having a, you know, a soft heart but a strong back. Mm. You know, soft heart to go like and understand where you're at. Like, I really don't want to go to training, but then having the conversation to be like, hey, but training is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Do you know, having this meal is what you need to do to get to where you want to be. And sometimes doing the hardest thing is the most compassionate thing for yourself in the long run.
Yeah. I spoke about it heaps of times, and I think I wrote about it in a little blog post that Kate will post up later at some stage if she'll ever do it, but we'll get to that. But like, just around,
so the
like,
editing's taking me a while.
Just got to put full stops in. Got to put full stops in everywhere.
Take out my exclamation points.
It's two pages. She hasn't took a breath yet.
But like, just with the boxing training, like, there is, everyone's like, oh, how's it all going? Like, yeah, it's going good. It's gone great. Like, but there's days where I don't want to go and fucking fight people.
Mm-hmm.
There's days where I don't feel like going and doing a million rounds on the bags, because it's the last thing I want to do first thing in the morning after a big day of work. Like,
first thing in the morning after a big day.
After the previous day, when you're tired, you'd rather stay in bed. But you never regret doing it. Like, there's always something to be taken out of. Like, you can have a really hard sparring session and you're better for it afterwards. Maybe you got your ass kicked, but you fucking learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get your ass kicked.
And that's where you are moving that needle forward.
Yeah. And then you can take that to anything. Like, I use the example of like people coming to the gym. Like, you don't have to go and fight people to fucking, you know, build that resilience muscle. It's like coming to the gym when it's the last thing you want to do after a big day of work, or you've had a fight with your partner and you could just stay at home and stew, but you come in, clear your head, and then you can go home in a different headspace.
Like, go for a walk, do anything. Yeah. Just do some stuff that you don't like doing. It's really important.
Mm. Kate, anything to add?
I'd the opposite. I like to come in, like, the more clouded my head is, the more I want to train or walk the dogs or play basketball, because I find it clarifying.
I think that's like a habit over time. It's like a physiological adaptation to train. I think we're all at that stage in here where I can't not do something. Yeah. I don't really want to do it. I can't not do something.
Feel worse for it.
Yeah. And a lot of time, the deeper I go into the hole, and this is just me, like, the deeper I go into the hole, the happier I am after.
Like,
there's nothing better than once you've had a sparring session and you've been like, and it's been like super hard. Yeah. It's not my advice again. Super hard and you've been absolutely nailed, but you leave and you're like,
phew. Didn't die.
Didn't die. I did a jiu-jitsu at the good dose down there. Like, there's some absolute killers down there. I've never been tapped as much. But then you walk out, you're like, right. There's something quite romantic about it, if that's the right word.
Yeah. Like, even today, like, I'm sick. I'm a week out from my fight. The hard decision for me today was not training.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, it does go both ways, because I know if I had a train and I could have trained, it would have delayed my recovery further. And what's more important for me right now is getting better. And I know that I'm going to feel better tomorrow for not having trained today.
What a finish.
Bravo.
I was due for a bit of acknowledge.
Nah, good point. Anyway, yeah, thanks again for listening. Remember, our show sponsors, LSKD. You get 10% off if you follow the link in our bio or quote Rebuild at checkout. Check them out, people.